radio.net, around the world and on satellite.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God. I'm back from south of North Carolina, where we met with many, many people. It was very spiritually rewarding for me. Pretty exhausting. I've only had a couple hours sleep since I finally got back. Still suffering from a little jet lag. But lots of good news, lots of bad news. The bad news is the spirit of evil is alive and well. Hell is emptying out, and all the demons are coming here. But the good news is that some people are receiving the Holy Spirit. Some people are learning to walk in the Holy Spirit, act in the Holy Spirit, live by that Holy Spirit that guides them day in, day out. I've always been plagued with people who want me to tell them what they should do. What they should do is find out what the Holy Spirit is telling them to do and do that. That's what they should do. But people don't know how to do that. They don't know how to bring the Holy Spirit into their hearts. They say things like, we love Jesus, we accepted Jesus, but I don't always see the fruits. Now, some of that is because the ministers aren't teaching them what those fruits are. Some of that is because they haven't really accepted Jesus, but they've accepted an image of Jesus. Kind of an emotional reaction about Jesus, and that's not really accepting that Holy Spirit of Jesus. Jesus is going to send us this comforter. We put a lot of labels on things. The labels themselves really aren't that important. Sometimes we have to define them so that other people can understand what we're saying. We know that there'll be lots of people who will say they're coming in the name of Jesus, coming in the name of Jesus, will be saying they'll do great things in the name of Jesus, miraculous things even in the name of Jesus. But Jesus will come and say, I knew you not. Get ye from me, ye workers of iniquity. So it always behooves us to take a really close look. Are we doing what Christ wants? Now, we're complex creatures. Sometimes there's a part of us that does, and sometimes they're a part of us that doesn't. So there's a conflict in us, and that conflict appears in many ways. And we have to struggle and seek and strive to find out if we are really accepting the wholeness of the Spirit of Christ. And there are many things to look for. Someone who is really accepting Christ, really believes in God, really is doing the ways of God, will not always be trying to usurp God and judge others. Because that's what you do when you judge others. When you set up a series of criteria that other people have to follow, or things that other people are not allowed to do, so that they will be accepted by you. Or you'll shun them, or you'll reject them, or you'll think they're bad. Now, obviously, if somebody's going around killing people and robbing people, that's bad. But we have other things. When we first came out here, we homeschooled. People thought that was bad. Then a lot of people thought it was good. But they didn't think it was good enough to actually do it themselves. They continued to send their kids to school. And there was a variety of reasons why we didn't. First, we thought, hey, well, we can teach in first grade. And we found out that we were doing a pretty good job, and the kids that were in school were way behind our kids. So we thought, well, let's see if we can teach in second grade. And then the more we went on, we learned more and more things. We began to understand the contractual nature of government, and that if you accept a benefit, you accept a responsibility. Now, I myself never went to public school. I always went to private school. And so my children have only gone to homeschool, and my grandchildren, generally speaking, are all homeschool taught. They have got together with other people, and they have sent their kids to these kind of homeschool get-togethers. But that's good. That allows us to have more interaction. Fortunately, when we were out here, we had a few other families around that also were homeschooling. They've all grown up and gone away, and most of the people out here are absentee owners. Most of the houses sit empty, and there's not a lot of kids. And most of the people out here who do have kids, they all are back sending them to school again. One of the major reasons we didn't send them to school eventually, once we began to understand more and more of the problem, is that school is based on the idea that you have a right to force your neighbor to take care of your child's education. And you don't have a right to force your neighbor to take care of your child's education given to you by the God of heaven. Because the God of heaven wants you to let everybody be free and serve one another. And if you don't, then you probably yourself will not be free. And that's exactly what's happened in America, is this contractual nature of government, which we talk about in the Covenants of the Gods, shows that the more you lean and learn to lean upon a institution of man that forces your neighbor to contribute to your welfare or the benefits you receive, the more you go under bondage yourself, the more you become entangled with the elements of the world, which, of course, if we look in the Bible, it's telling us not to be entangled. It tells us that we will be entangled and that their table will be a snare. I mean, the source of their benefits will be a snare. Because we're doing contrary to the ways of Christ. Now, some people actually think that the blood excuses that contract and exempts from the contracts that they've made and the obligations that they have created by going to those public schools, that they can go to those public schools, get that free education at the expense of their neighbor, go into business under the authority of that government with special numbers and identifiers, make lots and lots of money, and then leave that system because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, the reality, and they say, well, I didn't see a contract. Well, of course they saw a contract. That's why they're leaving. That's why they're leaving the system, because they realize that they have contracted. They have become in bondage. One of the things I do when I go places is I rattle the cage so you can see the bars. Everybody who is in the Social Security system of the United States also has an employee identification number, because it's one and the same number. The Social Security Administration is allowed to issue, with their Social Security number, the identical authority of a federal employer or employee identification number. And you, for 2-3 hours of every day, have been a federal employee. And they take the wages that you've made during those days, everything you earned during those days, and they take it to build their pyramids, just like they did in Egypt. In Egypt, you actually had to go to the pyramids and work on that project. But the way they do it here is that you pay in to that project, and they just hire somebody else to do it. But you're building the pyramids of Egypt. You're serving the gods of Pharaoh when you're a part of that system. Now, that's just the way it is. Go read the Covenants of the Gods, employee versus enslaved. It's a contract. It's clearly a contract. It was sold as if it was insurance, but it said it is not insurance. It is a Corvee system of statutory bondage, talking about in the Bible over and over again. It's not ambiguous. People who read the Covenants of the Gods and they're supposed to get out of the system. Well, I never said that. And you don't even see that until you get down to the end of the New Testament in Revelation. Come out of them, my people, lest ye be partakers of their sins. But the first part of the New Testament tells you very clearly, seek the kingdom and the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So what does that look like? Well, we refer to that in Covenants of the Gods. We tell and thy kingdom come, how it worked before, in the days of Abraham, in the days of Moses, in the days of the early church after Jesus Christ, and could work today to some degree. And in detail, we show exactly that format in the Free Church Report. And we have numerous articles that explain it all in great detail. But some people can see parts of the message that we bring, and they act upon that. But other parts, they say, are vague. Well, it's no more vague than the other parts. It's just that there's a veil over their thinking. And so they cannot see the whole truth. There's a veil over their perception. So when we show that Christ always required that the people be kicked out by the authority that has bound them in the elements of the world. And you go to the website, holychurch.info, and look up the word elements. Because we talk about it in several places, and you'll find elements of the world, because that's a quote out of the New Testament. And you'll find out what that is in the article called No Man... where Jesus says, not of this world, in that article and booklet. We talk about it. We talk about it in several of the other books. Find out what they mean by the elements of the world. The elements of the world will melt. What does that mean? Is that nuclear war? Well, we can show you exactly what those words mean in the Greek, and that's not what they're talking about. They're not talking about nuclear war. If a minister is telling you that, you'd need to have him look at our books and find out what they're talking about. And we're already beginning to see the elements of the world melting. Millions of people losing their homes. Millions of people losing their life savings. And, recent articles by Chuck Baldwin have come out. I also met with Rick Warren, who's supposedly going to reveal top secrets with CIA agents coming to his meetings and revealing these. Well, he will. But he will not get you the whole story, not from those guys. As a matter of fact, they will lead you down a path that will get you into a lot of trouble. But that's where God has put him right now, and he is doing many things that are according to God. And the network he's creating could be used for the kingdom of God and the whole message of Christ. So when I talked to him back in North Carolina, everybody said, oh, you can't go up and talk to him. They won't let you talk to him. Well, I just went up and talked to him. He was a little bit put off at first, but I talked to him more, and I delivered the message that was given on my heart to deliver to him. And I hope that he acts upon it. But if I'm not there, I hope that the Holy Spirit sends more messages to him, and I hope he acts on those. A lot of times the messages that we bring people, including all the works that we have laid out over the years, about the nature of the church. See, he said we don't need to go back to the first century church. We need to be the 21st century church. Well, the 21st century church needs to find out what the first century church was doing. Because if we were doing that, we would be prepared for what's coming. You have nothing to fear from the Muslims if you were actually real Christians, full Christians, acting and living according to the full character of those early Christians. They dealt with all the same problems that were, yes, more people will die in this system in the coming days. More destruction, more chaos, more evil will be leashed upon the world. But that's just because there's more people. The power of the Holy Spirit, if we had that power of the Holy Spirit working in what we were doing, and it will not come in us unless we put on the fullness of the gospel of the kingdom and stop coveting our neighbor's goods through the agencies of the government. He knew that our dependency in this country on foreign oil has made us weak and vulnerable. Absolutely. His message is true on the spot. He actually trickled out other things, and the people who came up and asked questions, I could see that the Holy Spirit is working on their hearts and their minds. There were some people in that room that were full of the Holy Spirit. I wouldn't say full. I don't know if you ever full, because the Holy Spirit is infinite power. So they had a lot of Holy Spirit in them, let's put it that way. Because no matter how full you get, the Holy Spirit can make you fuller. That's the point I'm making. There's always more that God is wanting to give you. willing to give you, waiting to give you. If you will continue in the fullness of the gospel, which is the gospel of the kingdom of God, which is an infinite kingdom, so there's no end to how much you can learn about the gospel. Do not think you're saved and stop. I gave the analogy, okay, a guy goes to Los Angeles. He's walking all the way to Los Angeles. He's got to go to Los Angeles. He knows that's where he's supposed to go. He gets right up to the skirts, outskirts of the city. He comes to a sign, "You are entering Los Angeles." He steps past the sign, and he stops. Don't stop. Keep going. There is more. A more to the awakening of the Holy Spirit in you. And if you don't keep going, you will not see all of Los Angeles. You will not see all of the kingdom. You will leave a veil between you and the understanding of the kingdom. We need to keep going. And what they actually mentioned the aurora borealis, which is caused by coronal mass ejections, CMEs. Those are going to play a huge, huge, huge part in what is coming down the road towards America. Towards the whole world will be affected by these things, like they haven't been affected by the world since the days of Christ. Because at the days of Christ, CMEs were so immense you could read books at night in the streets of Rome by the light of the aurora. And earthquakes were felt deep in the subterranean depths of the earth. And the magnetic field of the earth became intense like never before. Well, I wouldn't say never before, but it became very intense. And that field has been decreasing ever since. So what does that mean? Well, yeah, I could go into that, fill the whole hour just touching on that. Why is even the rocks would cry out, "Hosanna, son of David." The earth groaneth. Why is he saying that? Because the earth was groaning. These are things that we will see again also, and greater events will take place. And because of side effects of CME, this society that is terribly dependent upon electricity, communications, will suffer in that. But so will the enemy suffer. Evil is coming because it knows something has happened. We need to go to the Holy Spirit to give us the tools to do what we're going to need to do and be able to do in order to get through those days that come. Now, I don't want to sit here and scare everybody. I'm not going to go into the details of it. There are other people who appear at first to be prophets. I mean, I heard recently a guy who says he's a prophet of God. He may be. You know, I listened to what he had to say, and I thought, you know, some of the words that he chose were amazing. You know, there's messages in the finite nature of these words. He would say things a certain way that lead me to believe that he does know. He sells an awful lot of stuff on his site, but I really can't fault him for that. But you have to watch and see, is there mercenariness in his heart? You know, the devil will tell you all kinds of things about the future. So you begin to follow the devil and his servants. And then, when he's ready, he will tell you a lie, and you will believe it, because you have looked to that servant of the devil. Now, this prophet, John Paul Jackson, he may be of God, he may be of the devil. I think he might be of God, but I couldn't say. You're not to believe him. You need to find the Holy Spirit in your own self that guides you. Don't be chasing these prophets. We are seeking Christ. And that's one of the things that he says. And when you find that Christ and begin to act and walk according to its leading, you will be able to know, do I go to Colorado? Do I go to Montana? Do I stay where I'm at? Do I buy a house? Do I sell this house? How do I know what to do? What to do? What to do? You know because the Holy Spirit is telling you. Everybody has that power to hear the Holy Spirit. Some hear it more. Some hear messages for other people. Terry, who was a blessed heart that was at the meeting, took home my books and was a blessing to me. Seems to be of the Holy Spirit. Seems to be of God. And I could not find any evil lurking in him. I saw evil in some of the people that we met. As a matter of fact, some of the people would not even meet me. They would never make eye contact, and they would stalk the room way in the back. When I spoke, back and forth, you would see them like a wolf pacing. Now, are they a wolf, or is there a wolf, a spirit of a wolf that has influence over them? In the Artha Vedas written by Abraham, they talk about different animals, but they're not talking about the animal, but the characteristic of the animal in the spirit that gets into people. And it gets into people because we will not seek that whole truth, and we will not seek the whole truth because we will not want to see the whole truth about ourselves, about our own sin. When Adam fled the presence of God to hide, that was the big sin. Yeah, when he disobeyed, if he had fallen down on his knees and prostrated himself before God and said, "Oh my God, I have sinned before you. I beg your forgiveness," the outcome would have been much different than it would have been if he said, "It's not my fault, it's the woman you gave me." And that's what we've been doing. We've been blaming. Now, you know, that's a little bit of what the wrong element of the message that Rick Warren was bringing, was that the problem is the Muslims and the communists that are gathering together. He wasn't going to tell me, but he told me some of it. I knew most of it, my spirit. They're going to have extra testimony, but you have to be careful because that extra testimony may fudge in a little bit of untruth, too, and steer you the wrong way. Well, the problem isn't that Muslims and communists are going to come in here. I could tell you what troops are going to be here and who's going to bring them and the conditions that are going to bring it about and how they're all going to be destroyed eventually and how most of you will be destroyed. I could tell you all that because it's in the Bible. I revealed it to a few people when I was there, but I'm not going to get into that. That's not important. What's important is to find out what side of this destruction equation you're going to be on, the side that survives the melting of the elements of the world, or the side that melts. And that's what I was giving to Rick Warren, is that if we were really Christians to the fullness that Christ intended, the Muslims would fear us. I don't want to pick out Muslims. I don't want to pick on any religion. I want to preach the kingdom. And by that nature of preaching the kingdom, those religions are going to be brought into a new light. But Christianity will be brought into a new light. Or what's posing as Christianity, that has the form of godliness but denies the power thereof. If we were really doing what we're supposed to be doing, we would be the power thereof. And the evil would stalk in the far corners away from us. It would flee before us. There's a lot more to the kingdom of God than your preachers are telling you. The preachers you have now have delivered you into the bondage, have made you vulnerable, have had you look and become dependent upon a government foreign to the kingdom of God. He's worried about being dependent upon foreign oil. I am worried about you being dependent upon a foreign anointing, a false anointing that is not of Christ. And we'll talk more about that when we come back to Keys of the Kingdom.
Pledge allegiance to the King of Kings, and to his kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven. One holy nation, under heavenly Father, great mercy, justice for all.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen. There's a reason for it. to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, and regular guest, world-renowned economist Robert Chapman, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com or call 559-781-3773. Who will tell them if not you? You are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. We do not have freedom of speech because the Constitution gives it to us. The constitutional amendment was written to keep the government from taking our freedom away. The Creator gave us our rights, but He also gives us the capacity to do evil or usurp the rights of others. Our individual rights end where the rights of another begin. No one has the right to do evil, because evil can never be right. Those who would seek to limit your right to speak or hear the truth are the same who seek to subjugate, control, and enslave you. Freedom is not free. Support the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network by going to FirstAmendmentRadio.com on the Internet and following the instructions there to support us. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. We're going to talk a little bit more about the kingdom and some of the messages that were given me, and I became aware of more acutely during my trip to the Carolinas, to the East Coast, which was extremely rewarding to me personally, spiritually speaking. And we're going to let you know more and more about that as time goes on. I have to decrease as some sort of central command post for the work that we've been doing. Other people are going to have to become a part of what we have been doing. And they do that by joining the networks, which you can go to, and you join the network in your area. You find people and you pick a contact minister in your area. And he becomes your connection point to the rest of the group and to the other contact ministers throughout the United States and Canada and Australia and New Zealand. We had somebody who contacted me while I was gone, that he took one of my articles and translated it into Spanish and published it in Argentina. Well, that's part of the network. I'm not going to have the time to translate things into Spanish and publish them in Spanish-speaking countries. But this message needs to get out everywhere. There are other people. One person came to me and says, I've never heard this stuff before. Is there anybody else out there preaching it? I said, I hope so. Because this is a fuller view, a clearer view of the gospel of the kingdom. It's in the Bible. They're telling you. But we have been so deceived, so kept from knowing the whole truth, that we don't see these things anymore. We don't see them clearly anymore. Now, next year, we're going to have a Feast of Tabernacles here, and it looks like it's going to be the main weekend will be the weekend of the 25th and 26th in September. And we will hone it to make it bigger, as big as we can. We're going to try to get more and more people. I see that there's a number of things going on that year. I mean, the full moon is on the 23rd, so we might start doing things as early as the 23rd. Yom Kippur is on the 17th. Then they got Rosh Hashanah way over here on the 8th. Now, these are all old dates, and the thing that we're looking at is that's a better time this last year when we had the Feast of Tabernacles, Feast of Booths, the Fall Feast. I don't care what you call it. That's, again, those name things. We don't even get too caught up in those name things and the words. It's not about magic words. The truth. And these holidays were all to help build relationships with the network called Israel, because that's what it was. It was a network. And so we're going to have those many of those same holidays and feasts. We're not going to, you know, you don't all have to grow long beards and start wearing the prayer cloths and stuff. You have to start being the kingdom of God by being citizens of God, by doing things the way that God would do. You may still be bound by Caesar, by the governments that where you are, and you may still have to pay the taxes. But I tell you, the more you follow the ways of Christ, seek the ways of Christ, become one with the ways of Christ, the more they will want to spit you out, and there is a day coming when they will spit you out. Now, ministers, we can help you get separate. We're working on that in many ways. So you will get ministerial idea and be able to fly with that because you're part of another government. That's what the people in Washington, the lawyers back east, have told us, that we have to get our own ID, our own passports. And so we're working on that. But that takes time and money. And if you want to see us do it quicker, you're going to have to support us. That's all there is to it. Because we're doing two jobs, three jobs. We're supporting this ministry, and we're doing the work, and we're going out and evangelizing and spreading the gospel. And you need to contribute to that, not because we can't do it without you, because we can do it without you if we have God. But God provides these four preachers of the gospel, that's what the Lollards were called, because he wants you to learn what he was coming here to teach you, service to one another. Each of you are an altar of clay. Each of you must contribute. Someone wrote me, if we're to live in a free will society, do we have to tithe? No, you don't. You have to tithe if you want your free will society to function. You don't have to tithe. You tithe to them according to the service. That's what it says there. No minister's going to kick in your door. But if you don't give us the resources, we're not going to get the job done the way you may want it done. Now, we're pretty darn frugal here, but you have to support us. And if you don't, you're not putting on the fullness of Christ. Christ came to give. Christ came to serve. Now, you don't have to give to me. You give to whoever you think is doing the best job. You tithe to them according to their service. Doing any work here? Don't send me anything. I'm going to be here anyway. I may not get as much done. You know, this trip, I spent more money than I received. That's okay. I may receive more at some other time. I cast my bread upon the waters. That's the way it works. I have no problem with that. I worry about my family, but God is good. You need to worry about your family. You need to cast your bread upon the waters. You need to help others that there doesn't seem to be any way that it's going to guarantee to come back to you. You help others that it will not enrich you. That's what we've done in Spoon River. We've always tried to help them in tens of thousands of hours. Try to help them. We're probably never going to go to Spoon River for a retreat. For safety's sake. We live out here. That's a long ways to run. But why did we focus on a place so far away? Well, that's the place that God put before us to work on. But it won't make any difference, that work, to them if God is not working on their hearts. That individual walk doesn't improve because my individual walk improves. That's up to you. See, that's the nature of the kingdom. You have to do what you have to do. Same way with the congregation forming in the Carolinas. We'd like to see Andrew form a congregation there. With some of the people that we met in North Carolina, just as Jeffrey has started forming one in South Carolina. And we'd like to see others doing this in Florida and Alabama. It doesn't take very much. You start, we'll every time we get a contact in your area, we'll push them towards the networks, not towards us. Push them to the networks. Why? Because in your coming together in the name of Christ, in the ways of Christ, you will be enriched by the Holy Spirit. As you give to one another, as you love one another, as He loved you, you haven't even had a chance to do that yet. You will have a chance to do that under very rigorous conditions. Then the Holy Spirit will come and awaken in you and say, duck. When it's time to duck, stand up when it's time to stand up, move forward when it's time to move forward, and retreat when it's time to retreat. He will tell you when to plant and when to sow. Choose those things. And you will have great things trying to distract you from doing what you need to do. Fear, anxiety, doubt. You know where those all come from? Pride. I will build it up. I will make it happen. I actually had somebody recently say to me, virtually say this to me in an email, that God has torn it down and I will build it up. They didn't even notice how terrible that is, how dangerous that is, how far out away from the Holy Spirit that is. But changing that phrase in their life will not change the Holy Spirit in their life. Why was that phrase in them to come even out? How come they could not see the evil of what they were saying? How could they not see that they are cut off from the Holy Spirit? Well, there's many evidences. If you lose your temper easily, you're not a man of patience. The Holy Spirit is not in you. If you are quick to judge, the Holy Spirit is not in you. If you argue and divide people, you know, instead of going to your neighbor, you know, you got a beef with your neighbor. Maybe you think he's done something wrong. You perceive that he has done something wrong to you. Do you run and tell everybody, this guy has been mean to me? Or do you go to the man and say, do you mean to be mean to me? Do you mean to slight me? Do you mean to do this bad thing to me? Whatever it is, doesn't matter. Is that what you did, or did you run to other people and say, look how mean he is? Look how terrible thing he did. A pastor was telling me about a story like that in North Carolina just this week. How he thought that he was an assistant pastor, and the other pastor did all these wonderful things for him and liked him, and he thought he was in his good graces. And then all of a sudden he called him out for the first time. In front of the whole congregation, he pointed out that he had said something that was wrong or not of God or something. I can't remember exactly how the phrasing was. But anyway, it was a humiliating, tearing down his reputation before others. It was terrible of this pastor to do that, because that pastor's not of God. And the guy didn't just whimper off like a wet puppy. He stood up and says, you have defamed my character in front of all these people. You're going to have to, you know, fess up. I've seen this over and over again with some people. They keep doing that because they won't let the Holy Spirit in. And then they, before you know it, they're blaming you for, or somebody, for all their wrong choices and decisions. It's not my fault, it's their fault. They even blame God. God is punishing me, you know, testing me. No, you're testing God, because you're not listening to God. And tragedy follows whenever you don't listen to God. He doesn't have to say, oh, let's smash this guy. Let's beat up on that guy. Let's make this guy's life miserable. If you're not listening to God, you will not know that certain things are about to take place. You won't know. I can't tell you how many times we've been saved because all of a sudden we knew something was wrong. And sometimes even when bad things do happen, it's because we haven't been listening as close as we need to do. You know, like when my grandson, a rock, come down and landed on him. I mean, I say a rock. I mean, it's a boulder the size of, you know, it weighs probably 600 pounds. Squashed him, flat. Nothing but his tennis shoes sticking out. My daughter ended up flipping it off of him the long way. I mean, I can't even budge the thing. She actually flipped it all the way over. He's up running around. And doctors didn't really do anything. We air-lifed him. I mean, he should have been dead. He wasn't. But that had to have been a wake-up call about something. God's grace. And instant healings. Those start appearing in your life when you really start walking with Christ. You can't call me up and say, how do I heal my son? How do I breathe life into my son? Too late. I can't help you at that point. We have to start seeking the fullness of that kingdom right now. Oh, the pride and anger, judgment, resentment. Stop fooling ourselves in good times that we are filled with Christ. Stop being fooled by those who say they are. Stop following men and start being led by that Holy Spirit. That Christ us and had the power to send, willing to not only think about you as much as he thought about himself, but thought about you more than he thought about himself. He came to serve, to sacrifice, because that is the nature of God. If that nature is not in you, if you're not willing to sacrifice for others, if you're not willing to, I don't care whose work again that you contribute to for the good of others. There is a take spirit in us that wants to take and take and take and take. For free. Nothing's for free. It will come back and bite you if you do not give away what God has given you. Freely give it away. Not give it and keep having it. That's what everybody wants to do. Give this contribution to Christ by giving it to my minister, and he has to use it this way. You know, they think they have churches. The elders think they have churches, and then they run the church. And the minister opens his mouth. They worry about in Caesar's grip. What about in the grip of the elders? Fire him, destitute him in a moment if he doesn't say what they want. Now, there's a balance in the kingdom, and we explain it in the Free Church Report. But ministers would not be so vulnerable to that control. The nature of Caesar is more in those elders than the nature of Christ. And I'm not saying everywhere, but I have seen it plenty of times. If those ministers would come together and become the brotherhood of the apostles. But no, they want to go this way. They want to go that way. They are a scattered flock because you are scattered shepherds. You're not working together as a brotherhood. And you can't see the importance of that in the kingdom because there's a veil still not yet removed from your eyes. And you scatter the people because you scatter yourselves. You do not bring the people together in the net of Christ. In the blood-soaked net of Christ. Not yet heard in your heart, in your minds. Because you take pride in the fact that you have separated yourself out. Oh, I'm separate. Those guys over there, they're not separate. But I am separate. Now, yeah, you don't say it with that tone. But that is the spirit by which you move. That's no good. That will constipate the Holy Spirit in your heart. And you will not receive the fullness that yet is coming. And there's always another layer that we have to take off. Another part of the pipe that needs to be reamed out to have that flow of the Holy Spirit coming through us. Another thing that we have to let go of. that opens up the, a fuller picture of that Holy Spirit and more power of that Holy Spirit. And you will need that power because evil stalks you. But if people want to, yeah, I haven't yet revealed the final message in my article on Do Christians Have a Right to Self-Defense that appears on News Reviews. But those who have actually taken the time to read it and look at it and look at their own hearts and how they relate to the world realize that that's a tricky title. It isn't about owning guns. Although that's maybe part of it. You should have a right to own guns if you want to own a gun. And those people say, oh, I would never own a gun. Well, then you better not ever call a policeman because you're a hypocrite. Because you don't call the policeman because of the badge. You call the policeman because of the gun. And you're a hypocrite. And if you're taking welfare, if you're taking free education from the public schools, you believe in guns because that's how the money is obtained to provide those benefits for you at the point of a gun. So don't tell me you're nonviolent. Don't tell me that he who liveth by the sword dieth by the sword. Because you liveth by the sword if you pray to men who exercise authority one over the other for your benefits. Apply to governments who rule over the people who are not just titular leaders like they are in the kingdom of God, which is the last true pure republic on the face of the earth. And not many people in it. And hell is emptying out, and all the demons are coming here. You need to come together. Stop messing around with your religious philosophies. Start coming together with the basic principles of Christ that you actually care about one another. The United States is one of the poorest nations in the world. Very comfortable. But it is extremely impoverished when it comes to the working of the Holy Spirit and the ways of Christ. Because they do not take care of one another. They go to the government. Their dependence on that foreign anointing. You talk about 501c3 churches. Yeah, there's an interesting tip of the iceberg there. That's why we have the recordings, Body of Christ versus Body of the Stage. You can download them for free. You can read the articles for free. It's the 15th chapter of the book, The Covenants of the Gods. It's all there. It explains how it works. Corporation application for 1023. It's covered in the Free Church Report. And also the solution is covered in the Free Church Report, which you can read online for free. You don't have to send me any money, but if you take one of our books, you better pay for it because our books belong to Jesus. Our books belong to Jesus Christ because we belong to Jesus Christ. And I could not have written these books without His blessing. And what He has freely given me, I must freely give away. But those books cost somebody's blood, sweat, and tears. And you need to give back to the workings of Christ. I don't care if you give it to me. But you better give it to somebody. Because if you take from us and do not give back, it will make you ill. It will damage you something terrible. You need to give back to Christ what He has given you by giving to others. Equal amounts. And those books represent 30 years of intense work and God's grace. I give God the credit all the way. I did not make this happen. I am simply an instrument of Christ. I did not build up. Christ is built up in me. And I say that so that you will realize if you want to know what to do, Christ must be built up in you. And if you think He is, try doing what He said to do. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Cast thy bread upon the waters. Give freely to others. Come together in His name, in His character. Do not be free yourself, but to set other men free. Because all men in the United States are orphans. They do not have the Father as their Father. They have governments that they, for themselves, don't blame God for. It's like I say, you know, don't blame God for your problems. For the terrible things that happen in your life. Don't blame God for that. God is telling you all the time how to avoid that. But you are not listening to Him. And therefore, you have the government you have created. Go and cry unto the gods which you have chosen for yourself, and in that day the God will not hear you. Do you think he's going to hear you after you've been coveting your neighbor's goods through the institutions you created for yourself for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, for 100 years? You're worried about socialism coming and you have free education? It isn't free. Your neighbors paid for it. Maybe you've paid into it. But that's a common purse. That runs to evil. The slothful should be under tribute, which is why you're under tribute. You've been slothful in the ways of God. So we need to turn around and go another way. There are a bunch of questions that came in that I was looking at, and I can't remember all of them, but we only have a few minutes left before the break and the end of the show. Think about coming here for the feast. We would like to have 500. We'd like to have 1,000. We got room for 5,000 people if we could get it. I can't make that happen. You have to work together, join the networks. Come together and join the networks. We're going to start working in a program of working on networks. I have to call some radio people, and we'll try to get on as many radio programs as we can. If we pick up together and do the work together, it can be done. Because none of us have enough of the Holy Spirit by ourselves to do all this, and that God arranges that, because if we will not come together, then Christ is not in us. We are a scattered flock, and Jesus Christ's flock is not a scattered flock. It is one in Him that has one Father, one Shepherd. And they will not be going here and there. They will be coming together and working together for all the orphans of this world, of which the United States has 300 plus million of them, because they know not Christ as their Father. And the wholeness of His love. So we meet again. May peace be upon your house. May God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.